Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, Prevent Connect audience. This is Ashley Klein, and I am here chatting with Sarah Diamond from the Center for Community Solutions in San Diego. Sarah is a prevention coordinator at CCS and holds a Master's of Education in Human Sexuality degree. Sarah, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your day to chat with me. How are you?
I am doing super well. Thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. We are excited to have you. So I know that we spoke a few weeks ago, and you had told me that your passion has been looking at the intersection of sexual assault prevention education and comprehensive sex education, specifically from an inclusive, medically accurate, sex-positive lens that doesn't just center cisgender and heterosexuality as the norm. So first, I have to say that I love your passion and how you describe it.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. But I'm really interested in hearing what led you to look at these intersections in the first place.
So I majored in psychology with a minor in LGBT studies, and that's when I really got invested in women's studies classes, and I became really knowledgeable around this idea of rape culture, and I was very passionate about it. I was specifically interested in human sexuality education in some form or another. I wasn't sure where it would lead me to. So I went to grad school specifically for that, and it was so focused on this idea of providing comprehensive sex education to not only adults but to youth in a very K-12 manner. And so while I was there, I was really struggling with figuring out what is it that I'm super passionate about. I was really interested in pleasure-positive sex education. I was also really interested in anatomy and physiology and sexual and reproductive health sex education, you know, along the lines of maybe Planned Parenthood. And I was super interested in dismantling rape culture, and I wasn't sure how to go about that. And then it kind of dawned on me that I could do this type of education through an organization that works specifically with survivors of sexual assault. So I looked for jobs at rape crisis centers in California once I had graduated, and I was lucky enough to find one that is incredibly progressive and really encourages and involves doing sex education into their programs in a really age and developmentally appropriate way.
So how do you think the fields of sexual health promotion and sexual violence prevention can enhance and support each other?
I think that they go hand in hand, to be honest. When I was learning about human sexuality education from the beginning, we were taught about the circles of sexuality, which is basically human sexuality is so much more than just reproductive and sexual health, essentially. So what we want when it comes to sex education is sex education that's looking at all the different facets. And a lot of people typically assume that sex education is going to be teaching their youth how to have sex, when in reality, we're actually teaching youth to be young, healthy sexual beings and for them to make these decisions for themselves. So when it comes to sexual violence prevention education, that would be covered through comprehensive sex education, because we aren't just talking about anatomy and physiology. We're not just talking about gender and sexual identity, which is often not discussed as well. But we're also talking about intimacy. How can we be intimate with our partners in non-sexual ways? How can we have healthy relationships with our partners? And then how can we have healthy relationships with ourselves? We really want to encourage youth to foster a healthy relationship with themselves first and foremost, as a means to, you know, then later having healthy relationships with other people. So when you teach youth that and you teach them consent at much younger ages, that's where you start to see that they are going to develop into these sexually healthy adults, which is what we would hope for our youth. And so teaching youth at very young ages boundaries, consent, and what that looks like, those are very minor conversations that happen, let's say, when we're really young. So the best example that I can think of is, you know, when a small child is being introduced to a new family member for the first time and they're not very comfortable hugging that family member, what would be appropriate would be, hey, so you know, do you want to high five your uncle? Do you want to maybe just like, you know, say hi from a distance? What would make you comfortable? And it may sound silly to folks because that's not the norm that we teach our children. We teach our children, you know, you're supposed to hug your elders. You're supposed to respect your elders. But if that child doesn't understand that they have bodily autonomy, they essentially grow up thinking the same. And so then they're not really able to comprehend or to make a judgment for themselves when it comes to engaging in sexual behaviors later on down the line. So for me, these two pieces of comprehensive sex education or sexual health promotion and sexual assault prevention education really go hand in hand because we're teaching youth how to be healthy human beings.
It sounds like what you're saying is that we need to have these conversations throughout our lives, right? There's not necessarily
Absolutely.
Like a benchmark where it becomes okay to talk about this as sexual beings. This is something that should be discussed throughout our lives. But I know that one of the things that's been a huge topic of discussion right now on college campuses is affirmative consent. I'm sure you've seen the articles, you've heard the conversations around it. There's been laws passed around affirmative consent.
Yeah.
And we at Prevent Connect, we recently did a web conference on affirmative consent policies and the need for affirmative sexuality. And one of the conversations that I found really interesting was about how consent is often communicated and negotiated in a society or community where equitable sexual health promotion is not really the norm. So example, like what are the implications of yes means yes policies when it's not socially acceptable for all people to say yes to sex? I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on this?
There's a few thoughts going on when it comes to affirmative consent policies. One, I think it's great that we now are recognizing this as a yes means yes. It's no longer a no means no. It really puts the responsibility on the person who wants to engage in the sexual behavior with the other person. And we really want an enthusiastic yes. At the same time, I almost feel like we are sometimes doing a disservice to our students, to our youth, when all we are teaching them is yes means yes and not discussing the nuances of consent and what that actually means for them. So what I do with my students is before we even get to this conversation of what consent truly means, because we define it as permission for them, I ask them, why would someone say yes to engaging in a sexual activity and why would someone say no? And then what are the pros of engaging in a sexual activity and what are the cons? And so I leave sexual activity very open because sex can mean different things for different folks, and so I don't want to make any assumptions. So for some students, they'll say, well, it feels good, pleasure, et cetera. But then they'll start to get into, well, maybe this person was peer pressured into it. Or maybe they feel that it's the next step to take in that relationship. And so what I'm doing there is I want them to see that consent is yes. You need a yes, but you also need to know what you're consenting to. So for a young girl who's in high school, maybe she's really ready to engage in sex with her partner, but she knows that if the wrong person finds out, that it's going to have this stigma attached to her. She will have a negative reputation while she's in school. Is that something that she really wants to consent to? Maybe physically, emotionally, mentally, she's ready for that partner, and she trusts that partner, but maybe she's not ready for the societal impact, and that's really fair for that person to have to sit with and think about. So when my students then ask me, what's the right age for sex, I never give them a number because they think it requires two conversations, one with your partner around these outcomes, and I won't call them consequences because I think that's a really negative, heavy word, but all sex involves risks. So are students able to think about what are the positive and negative outcomes of me engaging in this type of behavior with this partner? They first have to talk about that with their partner. They also have to be able to talk about it with themselves and figure out what am I okay with, and that's really getting at the nuances of consent. As adults, I think we often don't give young people enough credit, and we don't think that they're able to actually make these types of decisions for themselves, but in fact they will. In the Netherlands, they are incredibly sex positive, and so they encourage their students to really learn about sex from a young age, and it starts at the home, and they have the lowest teen birth rates in the world and the lowest STI rates. So if we start it at home and then the sex education that they're receiving at school is secondary to what is being taught in the home and it reflects their beliefs and values, they will abstain from sexual behaviors until they feel this is the right time. So for our students, when it comes to yes means yes and affirmative consent, that's not enough for them to understand because at the end of the day, they are young people. And so we are responsible as adults to help them understand what those processes look like so that they can make the most informed decisions for themselves.
I agree with so much of what you said. It's really important that we understand power dynamics when we're discussing affirmative consent. And lots of people, no matter what their age, they don't truly incorporate that sometimes into those discussions. So I think as a field, it's really important for us to be saying, you know, yes, affirmative consent is great. These policies, you know, really have a place, but we also need to be thinking about these other things. So thank you so much for laying that out.
When we were talking earlier about this idea of starting this education at a much younger age, this is also where that's coming into play, right? So yes means yes, you're teaching children at younger ages that a no is a no. So teaching our kids really how to accept no's. So for example, a parent comes home from work, they're tired, it's been a long day, and now they have to cook for their family. And so this child is asking for a cookie before dinner, and the parent says no. And the child is really adamant and keeps asking and asking and asking, and the parent finally gives in because they're tired, and that's totally understandable. My mother has done that to me, and I can understand why a parent would do that. But what you've just taught that child is that if you ask enough, you're going to get what you want. And that message will carry with them throughout their life, especially if they are a young boy, because of the socialization that they receive. So yes means yes really is great, and we need other components to it.
Thank you for listening to part one of this Prevent Connect podcast, a conversation with Sarah Diamond from Center for Community Solutions around comprehensive sex education and sexual assault prevention efforts. Part two will be available to listen to next month. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission, or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.ORG.